Amen. Thank you, ladies. How many of you have your Bible tonight? You have your Bible, hold it really high. Hold it as high as you can, stretch it out there. I love seeing a sea of Bibles. That is fantastic. Great. Take it down and put it in your lap. And I would like for you to find a book in the Old Testament. The book is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Look for that if you would. Please do so without talking. 1 Samuel, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's the first five. Then you get the next three, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That sounds like a sentence. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And then the next book is 1 Samuel. So this is the ninth book of the Old Testament. When you find 1 Samuel, find chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. And when you find 1 Samuel 24, find verse 1. When you find the 1, put your finger on the 1, or, like my Bible doesn't even have a 1, because it's the first verse, I just have a big first letter. So put your finger on the letter and look right this way as soon as you found it. You got your finger at it, so you can go right back to looking at it in just a moment. 1 Samuel 24, 1. Let me remind you about what you can do to make sure you listen well tonight. Two things. First, you sit up good and straight. That'll help you stay alert. And secondly, look up. Unless we are looking down to read the Bible, look up, sit up, look up, and that will help you too. Listen up to everything that God has for you tonight. Now, you got it? Let's look down at verse 1. You follow along while I read a story about a man you may have heard of before. His name is David. Verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returning from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. That's kind of a weird name. Say that name out loud. En-Gedi. Good. Verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of that cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt, or the bottom part, of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words. He suffered them not to rise against Saul, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Look right this way. This is a story about King David, but it's before King David was King David. He was just David. Just David. Now, oftentimes when we think of David, we either think of King David or boy David, because when David was just a teenage boy, he did something very famous. He killed a giant. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what was the name of that giant that he killed. One, two, three, fourth row. Goliath is the name of that giant. He killed that giant. Somebody raise your hand and tell me, what did he use to kill that giant? David.
A slingshot and Goliath's sword.
Yes. He killed him with a slingshot and a stone, bam, and then he went up and took Goliath's sword from him because he had fallen to the earth and died. And just to make sure everybody knew it, cut off his head. And that is what David did when he was a teenage boy. And later on, he became king. God had promised David that he would become the next king of Israel. But that time had not yet come. Now, he had already served the king after killing Goliath by being involved in other battles. And he had been very, very successful, so successful defeating the enemy that people began to sing about all that David had done. And they said, King Saul has killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. And that brings us to our second character in the story, King Saul. Now, King Saul was the one that God said should be king. And King Saul could have been a very good king. He started out actually pretty humble. He started out knowing that he could not be a king on his own. But as time went on, he began to act as if he knew more than God knew. Hey, guys, hey, girls, let me tell you right up front that it's a very dangerous spot when you think you know more than God does. And so that's where Saul was at. He thought he knew more than God, and he stopped obeying God the way he was supposed to obey God. And he got so jealous of David and how popular that David was that he started chasing David all the way around the country. And right here in this spot, it says that he had 3,000 men with him trying to chase and capture David. Now, let me just tell you, he was not trying to capture David so that he could throw him a party. He was trying to capture David so he could kill him, or at least put him in jail, something so he could get him out of the way because he was so jealous. So the Bible says that David is going all around this area, and now he comes to this area, this territory called En-Gedi. What was it called again? En-Gedi. Sort of sounds like spaghetti, but it's actually En-Gedi. So it has nothing to do with tomato sauce, okay? It was actually a place in Israel that had a lot of tall ridges and canyons and rocks and caves. Actually, when I read about it in books, I think that sounds a little bit like Arizona or even Southern California in places. There are all sorts of canyons and mountains and rocks and cliffs and places where you could hide. And that's what David was doing. He was hiding. He was trying to get away. This place was so remote in Israel that it was known for the wild goats that lived there. Now, over here, not very far away, is a kind of a zoo. It's called Bearzona. Any of you ever been to Bearzona? And at Bearzona, they have some wild goats, mountain goats. They also have mountain sheep. And the mountain sheep, it's really cool because when you go into their spot, they have this kind of tall cliff-like thing where these sheep can just climb up there, and it's no problem at all. They can get up those places easy as can be. But for me, if I tried to climb up there, I can guarantee you that however far up I got, I would get all that far back down when I fell right off because I'm not very good at climbing up things. Now, it was that type of territory where David's hiding and where Saul is chasing him. And in the midst of this whole chase, the Bible says that Saul goes into this cave. And he goes into this cave. He's been traveling. And so he's going in there to spend some time and to rest. And the most amazing thing in the world takes place in this cave. And that is this. The cave that Saul randomly decides to go and rest inside of is the very cave where David and some of his men with him are hiding. Now, have any of you been in a cave before? Raise your hand if you've been in a cave before. I was thinking about it. I have been in caves in Arizona. I've been in a cave in Texas. I've been in a cave in Tennessee. I've been in a cave in Kentucky. I've been in a cave in Missouri. And maybe I'm forgetting one, but I know I've at least been in those five caves, and actually more than one in Arizona, so we'll just say at least six different caves that I've been in that were big enough that you could actually go and take a tour in the cave. And any time that I have ever gone to a cave and taken a tour, I can tell you one thing. The one part of their show is always the same. They'll get you to one spot where you're way down deep into that cave, and they will say, "Now, we just want you to see how dark it is in this cave." And so they will have put in some lights, and all of a sudden, one, two, three, they turn off all the lights. And you're supposed to hold your hand in front of your face. And they're like, "See, you can't even see the hand in front of your face." Of course, I always think, I know what my hand looks like. So I feel like I can see my hand, even though you're telling me I can't. But I'm just going to go, "Whoa, that's amazing anyway," because I know that's what you want me to do. And so you get into those caves, and it can be very dark. Now, I heard several years ago that in Flagstaff, some of you live in Flagstaff. In Flagstaff, there's a mountain. It's called Mount Eldon. And some of our staff actually climbed to the top of that just a few days ago. But on the side of Mount Eldon, there are some caves in places. And there had been a guy living in one of those caves for like over 10 years. And nobody even knew about it. And every once in a while, he would just come down out of the cave, come to the bottom of the mountain. And it's a very convenient cave because at the bottom of the mountain, there's a grocery store. And so he'd get his stuff, I guess, and he'd go back up, and he would go back to his cave, and that's where he lived. And they found him. It wasn't legal for him to do that, so they made him move somewhere else. But he was living in that cave for like over 10 years. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, I wonder what else was living in that cave. Probably not a who else, but surely every once in a while there was a what else. And that just doesn't sound very fun to me. So here's the deal. David's in this cave. And apparently the cave has different parts to it because the Bible says he's in the sides of it. And I think that David was just further into the cave than Saul went into. Saul probably just walked into the cave just to get out of the wind. Maybe it was raining to get out of the rain. Maybe just to get away from the men that he was with. He's like, "You know what? I appreciate you, but not that much. You stay out there. I'm going inside." And he probably, no doubt, put guards on the outside of the cave so nobody would come in and get him while he's just resting and relaxing. But little does he know that David is in the very same cave. Now, no doubt it's dark in the cave, but if they were further in the cave, they, with the help of the light at the edge of the cave, probably could see Saul, but Saul looking further in the cave would not have been able to see them. And so David sees it's Saul, and his men see it's Saul. And of course, what's the first thing you're going to do? Shh. Be quiet. Don't talk. What's going on? We don't want him to catch us. We don't want him to discover us. But then apparently Saul is resting so much that it becomes obvious that they could go right up to him if they wanted to. And so David's men lean over and probably as quiet as they could talk, and they said to him, "This is it. This is the moment you've been waiting for. God said you would be king. There's the king. All you got to do is kill him, and you get to become the king." Well, David is rolling these ideas around in his head, and he's thinking, and he's thinking, and he's thinking. And he finally decides that he'll step out a little bit and sneak up to Saul. And David would have had some type of spear or something with him, a sword, a little one. There he is, probably asleep. And he's taken off some of his outer robes that he would wear and laid them to the side. There he is. Here's his robes. Pulls up a robe, rips off a piece of it, puts it down, slowly backs into the shadows once again. But as soon as David does this, he starts feeling guilty. I know God said that I would be the king, but that's the king. He's the one God said is supposed to be the king right now. I'm just supposed to wait and trust God to make me the king when God wants me to be the king. David had spent a bunch of his time already being loyal to the king, fighting for the king, helping the king, and now he does something where, can you imagine, Saul wakes up, grabs his robes, puts them back on, walks out there, and like the bottom half of his robe is gone. That's like worse than Ooga Booga, you know what I'm saying? And so he's probably embarrassed when he gets out there, and the guards are probably like, King, what's going on with your robe there, you know? And probably think it was a little bit funny, but like, I don't want him mad at me, so I better not laugh. Well, David is like, what I did is going to embarrass the king. It's showing that I did something bad to the king. The men were like, hey, do it, do it. Kill him. Become the king. Now, do you think that would have worked out? You think if he killed the king in the cave there, the guards would have just been like, oh, hey, that's a bummer. You know, is that what they're going to say? They'd probably be like, no, off with your head. You know, you're the enemy. We're chasing you. That wouldn't have done it. And David, he did something he shouldn't have done in cutting off the robe, and it smote his heart. It made him feel bad. But David could have done something far worse if he had killed the king. Now, remember what I said about caves? They're dark, right? You can't see in them, right? If all of a sudden the king was dead, if there are other parts of the cave, it's possible David could have gotten away with it. Maybe he could have killed him. Maybe he could have hidden in another part of the cave. Maybe he could have waited till the heat died down and he could sneak out, and he probably knew the area well. He could hide somewhere else. He could probably get away with it because it all happened in the dark. But David, sit up real good and straight, look right this way. David did what was right, even in the dark. And junior boy, junior girl, you need to do what's right at all times, even in the dark as well. You say, well, nobody really noticed that I could see the answer on my classmates' test for me to copy down the right answer. Nobody knew about that. In the dark? So, well, nobody was really around to tell me that I couldn't watch that on TV or I couldn't stream that. Nobody was around to say I couldn't play that. Like, is in the dark? Here's the deal, young person. You need to do what's right, whether everybody knows about it or nobody knows about it. Do what is right, even in the dark. You know, for David, there were two reasons why he actually did do what was right, even in the dark. Number one is this, because of his conscience. You know, the Bible tells us that after he did cut off the skirt, the Bible says his heart smote him. That's not how we would say it today. We would say his conscience bothered him. We would say he felt bad about it afterwards. He thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Hey, have you ever had that happen? Where you do something and after the fact you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's not what I should have done. I made the wrong decision. I did something wrong. It's your conscience. You know, God's given to every person in this room a conscience. Every person in the world has a conscience. to help us know what's right or wrong. Now, the problem is that if we don't constantly look at the Bible, sometimes our conscience stops really helping us. We've got to constantly feed our conscience with the Bible. That's why it's so important that you go to church. It's why it's so important that you read your own Bible. It's why it's so important that you listen to your parents when they give you a helpful information from the Bible, so you can keep pumping the Bible into your heart all the time. Because if you're not careful, you'll stop listening to the Bible and your conscience will stop working. But in David's case, he had a conscience that was sensitive to God and sensitive to do what's right. Do you have a conscience like that? Do you have a conscience that helps you know, I better not do that. I probably shouldn't do that. That's not the right thing to do. You know, when you get saved, it gets even better than your conscience. Because the Bible says that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And not only do you have a conscience, but you have the Holy Spirit to talk to your conscience. And so the Holy Spirit, it's like he's tapping you on the shoulder and says, don't say that. Don't react that way. Don't go there. Don't hang out with them. Don't talk like that. Don't try to get away with that. And the Holy Spirit constantly helps you to know what you should do. That's one of the reasons why David did right even in the dark, because he had a conscience that helped him to do what's right. And you have a conscience and you have the Holy Spirit as well. But can I tell you, that's not the only reason. The other reason that David did what was right here, now this is important, so listen to this carefully. David remembered that even though the cave was dark, that God can still see in the dark. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes, look right this way, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees all the good that you do, but God sees all the evil that you do too. It doesn't matter if you're hiding under your blanket or you're hiding in your room with the door shut thinking nobody knows what I'm doing, or you're hiding over at a friend's house where mom and dad aren't around, or you're hiding somewhere else where you think that you can get away with something, or you're saying, I'm not even doing it outside of my mind. I'm just thinking about things. Nobody can see what I'm thinking about. God can see it. God sees in the dark. God sees in your mind. God sees in your room. God sees at your friend's house. God sees all of this. And everything that he says in his word is just as valid, is just as important at your friend's house, in your bedroom, in your mind, as anywhere else in the world. David did right in the dark because of his conscience and because he remembered God sees. And it helped David to do right even when it seemed like nobody else would know. And can I say secondly, it helped David to do what was right even when his friends were encouraging him to do what was wrong. Now, do you ever have that happen? You're over at your friend's house, and they're like, hey, let's do this. And your conscience says, I better not do that. But they pressure you, and they say, hey, come on, it's all right. Come on, it's no big deal. Come on, just do this with me. You going to listen to your friend, or are you going to listen to God? You going to listen to your conscience? Or are you going to think, what would be the right thing to do? And I'm telling you, there are guys and girls in this room, maybe you're one of them, that right now you'll just do anything that your friends tell you to do. And it ought not be that way. You need to listen to God more than you listen to friends. And if your friends are constantly encouraging you to do the wrong thing, then you may need to do something very hard and stop spending so much time with those friends and find some different friends. I remember times in my life when I was young and I had friends that were rubbing off on me in a way that was not good. And I remember God speaking to my heart about it and God saying, you need to stop spending so much time with that friend. I didn't really want my friend to feel bad. So I just kind of slowly backed away from time with him. I chose to spend time with other friends that encouraged me to do what's right. And can I tell you that I believe this with all of my heart? If I had stayed close friends with that friend instead of doing what God wanted me to do, there would be no Mr. Troy at this camp. Because I would have been way off from doing what God wanted me to do. Eventually, if it was more important to me to just listen to friends instead of listening to God. So I want to ask you two important questions tonight, so I want your eyes right on me right now. Do you do what's right even when nobody else is around? Even when it's like it's dark? Even when it seems like nobody else would find out? Do you still do what's right then? Number two, do you do what's right even when friends encourage you to do wrong? David went on to be a great king in Israel for God. And it's because David did right in the dark, even when his friends told him he ought to do something else. And if that is not true about you right now, then tonight you need to talk to God about that. And ask God to forgive you and ask God for his help that doing what's right will be more important to you than anything. Doing right even in the dark.